About 40 years ago, I met a man, and his first name was Claire. I had never met a man whose first name was Claire, and he was certainly an individual unlike anyone I ever met before or since. He was kind of a crusty old guy, the kind of guy that you don't forget. Claire was a very driven man in wanting to reach the lost. He loved to try to teach, but because he was kind of crusty and had a lot of hard ways, usually he didn't last long as a teacher. And so he began to think, how can I reach people if I can't teach them publicly or I can't teach them in a Bible class? And so he decided that he would start printing tracts. Well, he lived in an old house and drove an old car. And he saved his money and he bought a printing press with the help of some friends. And he began to print tracts and he would mail them all over the world. And during a period of time, he printed as many as 10 million tracts. And he never charged a penny for any tract he ever sent out. He was quite an individual, quite a man. And I had great respect for him. But I called him and said, can I come see you? Because the congregation where we were printed a Bible correspondence course that he had developed. And so I decided I'd drive over to his house, and I found it, and I parked in the alleyway beside his house. And he came out, and he greeted me. He was waiting for me. And walked in, and he was so excited that I was there. Not at me, but he had something to tell me. He said, I've got a question that I want you to know about. I want you to know about this question. He went on for nearly 5 to 10 minutes about how great this question was and how earth-shattering it was and how important it was and why he wanted me to have that question, because he said it would make an impression on me really for the rest of my life. And I'm here to tell you that that was nearly 40 years ago and I still think of that question. And finally I said, Claire, I can't take it anymore. I want to know what that question is. And he said, what are you becoming? What are you becoming? What a question. That question is meant something to me all of my life. I think about life and how full of changes it is. Full of changes. Some are good, some are not so good. Sometimes you hear news that thrills you, and sometimes you hear news that breaks your heart. And I think about that, and I think about how things rarely stay the same for long periods of time. There may be a season where things are predictable, but there'll be another season come along and things change, and they're not the same as they once were before. And because of that, I have to think about my own life and my own ways of looking at things and whether or not I am as dedicated as I ought to be, even though things may change all around me. Sometimes changes affect people. Sometimes changes for good. Sometimes changes that are not good at all. And it hurts because these changes sometimes take place so very slowly. You know, the Bible talks about paying close attention to the Word of God lest we drift away from it, Hebrews 2. And people can drift and become something they never intended to become. Oh, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of time. And so the asking the question, what are you becoming, is really a very powerful question. And many times, because change happens so slowly, it's not even perceived until it gets to a point where it is undeniable. What I want to do tonight, and I'm going to urge you to open up your Bible because I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight, to Judges chapter 16, and it's a story that you're familiar with, but I think there'll be things in it that will be meaningful to you. We're going to study a fellow named Samson. Samson. Judges chapter 16, and some of the things that happened in his life, And some of the phrases that are used that are quite interesting to what we're talking about when we ask the question, what are you becoming? Verse 4 of chapter 16 of Judges. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, oh, please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you. You know, she was honest with him. She wanted that money. You think about all these different lords that would come up and 1,100 pieces of silver, that'd be a lot of money. Tell me how you could be bound. She was honest with him. But you see, he loved Delilah, and he never thought anything of it. He trusted her, and that was his mistake. Well, Samson said to her, well, he lied to her. He said, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Well, then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now, you know, you'd think he'd get a clue here. You'd think. She bound them with him. Now, she had men lying in wait, in ambush, in an inner chamber. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have mocked me. Oh, you could hear it in her voice. She wanted that money so bad. You have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Yeah, that's what he will become. So Delilah took new ropes, bound him with them, and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Well, then Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound. Man, she was persistent, wasn't she? You know, after the third time, you'd think he'd get a clue. Well, he said to her, well, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head, wove them into the web, and she made them tight with the pin, and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep. He pulled away the pin and the loom and the web. And of course, he was like he always was. And she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times. You've not told me where your great strength lies. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day, and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. He got really annoyed at her. And he told her all his heart. And he said to her, a razor has never come upon my head. For I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. And if my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me. and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Well, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." And then the lords of the Philistines came up to her, and they brought the money in their hands. And she made him sleep on her knees. And she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and he said, "Well, I'll go out as at other times and I'll shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison, but the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now, this is quite a story about a man who became something he never intended to become. But because he trusted in the wrong person, because he loved this woman and she had his heart, and she doggedly searched for the source of his great strength, she brought him lots and lots of trouble. Now, he loved Delilah, but she sold him out to his enemies. God had given Samson the gift of strength. And you know, whatever you're able to do, as our good brother prayed a little bit ago, every gift comes from God. What we are able to do is because God gave us that gift. Now, yes, sometimes we also develop gifts and learn skills, but we learn skills because God gave us the ability to learn those skills. We're able to make a living because God gives us the ability to make a living. God is the source of everything. And God was the source of his strength. And she was going to find it or bust. She didn't quit. She was actually more sincere and more dogged about it, getting him to tell his secret, than he was to keep it. His devotion spiritually was not as great as her desire to make some money. You think about that. You know what? There are a lot of wicked people in this world. This was a wicked woman. There are a lot of wicked men and wicked women in this world who do not care about you, who do not want what's best for you. And they may lead you astray if you listen to them and give in to them. Now, you'd think after a while, Samson would kind of get a clue that here was this woman who really wasn't interested in him. Not interested in him as a person, but was interested in making that money. And 3 times he said, "The Philistines are upon you." And of course he was able to snap out of it and it was no big deal. But the 4th time, he couldn't do it because the Lord had left him. Wouldn't you hate for the Lord to leave you? Let me tell you something. There is a big difference between being in the grace of God and not being in the grace of God. There is a big difference between being saved and being lost. There is a big difference between being committed to God and not being committed to God. There's a great difference between being a child of God or a child of the world. There's a difference. And there are times when people, even though they are a child of God, at one point in their lives, over a period of time, they can begin to forget who they are, forget what God has done for them, and they begin to go and march in a direction they shouldn't go, and the Lord will leave them. whenever they have sin in their lives. That's something to think about. He did not know that the Lord had left him. It must have been quite a surprise. But you see, when he became like any other man, the Philistines could seize him. They could gouge out his eyes. They could make him be like a beast and work at the mill in the prison, where he would be pushing it around like he was some kind of an animal day after day. And of course, they wanted to make fun of him in every way possible, because he had been the champion of their enemies. And now they had overcome the champion of their enemies, and their hearts were high. And that was their problem and their fault. Samson lost his hair, but he lost a lot more than his hair. He lost the favor of the Lord. He lost his eyes. I think he lost a lot of self-respect. And he certainly lost his place among the Israelites, who looked at him as a hero and a judge. But he was not treated like that by the Philistines by any means. And I think about him and what took place, all because of his love of a foreign woman who perhaps did all that he wanted to do, but didn't help him spiritually at all. And I think how different that was than Joseph. Joseph was a different story altogether. In the book of Genesis chapter 39, you remember that Joseph refused to be called by the wife of Potiphar and to lie with her, to be with her. He wasn't going to do that. He refused to be able to be around her alone. And he said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in this house. And he's put everything that he has in my charge. He's not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife." Then he said, "How then," and I love this question, because Joseph knew who he was, not only as a servant, but a servant of God. He said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" All sin is sin against God. And Joseph wasn't going to do that. And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, just like Delilah with Samson, he wouldn't listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. And I think what a different situation. God was training Joseph not only in the house of Potiphar, but also in the prison later on to become second to the Pharaoh, getting him ready for a great work. And he was becoming something, and he did not know that the difficulties he faced were the very things that were helping him to become the great man that he would one day be. You know, the devil is always persistent. I talked a little bit about this before, about finding our weak spots. He always wants to find when we're weak, whenever we are sleepy. One thing that I found that is you shouldn't do is make decisions when it's after about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, when you're tired. You don't make decisions then. That's not a good time to think things through. And he wants to find when we're weak, or when we're hurting, or when we've been offended, or when we're angry, or when we're hungry. Those are the times that the devil comes after people. 1 Peter 5 and verses 8 and 9. "Be sober-minded, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." And he says, "Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brethren throughout the world." Yeah, everybody's going through some of the same kinds of things. And we need to be looking at those who are setting a good example and not those who set the bad example. Sometimes people go and find the wrong kind of counselors. The wrong kind of counselors. If you got marital problems, don't call and talk to somebody who's divorced. Yeah, That happens. That happens. If you got problems in other areas, don't find people who have never walked in that direction, or people who will lead you in the wrong direction. If you've got problems, go talk to somebody who's got a good marriage and learn how to have a good marriage. Learn what to do and what not to do, how to treat your spouse in the right way. Those are the kinds of things that need to be said and need to be done. Be people who recognize that you can be easily led astray. You know, whenever you watch a boxing match or a wrestling match, the persons who are fighting with one another are fighting and looking for the other person's weak spot so that they can overcome them, to submit them to their will. Find that weak spot where they're not watching or where they have let their guard down. Brethren, we need to be people who keep our focus on God. James 4 and verse 7 and 8 says, "Submit therefore to God." You know, this is really a big point. A big point. Because an awful lot of things really take place when you make up your mind, I belong to God. I don't belong to me. I belong to Him. And I'm going to serve Him and be the best that I can to love Him and to be close to Him. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why? Because God's with you and you're with God. And God's bigger than he is. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Samson had this cavalier attitude. He had been strong physically for so long. He thought that was always his salvation, always the thing he could rely on. And he figured that as long as he had his strength, everything was going fine. But it really wasn't, because he didn't have the spiritual strength to go with it. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, it says, "Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall." And you can fall and I can fall. Do the wrong things. And the Lord may leave us even when we don't know it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. If you're around people who are mean, it'll teach you to be mean. If you hear people who are using foul language all the time, you'll start using foul language. If you're around people who do all kinds of ugly things, it won't be long until you'll be doing ugly things. You need to really choose the kind of person you want to be and how you want to do if you want to grow spiritually, emotionally, physically, and in every way. Samson gave in and he became something that he never intended. And that can happen to you and me, because you see, a thought can become an act. And an act, if repeated, can become a habit. And a habit can shape a character, and our character will determine our eternal destiny. We have to really think through those kinds of things. Now, change may come about so gradually that one may not know it's happening, as we talked about. You know, the person who becomes an alcoholic will hardly admit that he's an alcoholic. And it'll have control of him and he not know it. Got to have another drink. Got to go back down and get something. He thinks he's in control and he's not in control. A person who is in error will think he is where he's always been. And yet he's maybe very well in error and not know it. Sometimes I hear people say, "I haven't changed." And the change is evident to everybody but the person who said that. And he doesn't know that whenever sin dominates his life, that the Lord will depart from him, just as he did from Samson. Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 14 says, "Take care, brethren." Now, he's not talking to people of the world. He's talking to brethren. "Take care, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God." He says, "But exhort one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that you may not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Our hearts can get hardened. We can become something we never intended to become. I've known preachers who were believers at one point and became atheists. That happens. And I've seen things, people become something they never intended to do. The Bible says, "For we share in Christ if indeed we hold to our original confidence firm to the end." It is not the fellow who begins the Christian life who will have eternal life. It is the fellow who begins and ends and finishes and stays firm with it. That's the one who has eternal life. Now, people can move from being spiritual to being very ungodly if they're not careful, very fleshly. I've known people who were very loving at one point in their lives, and they became very selfish at other points. I've known people who were very careful to do the will of God at one point in their lives, and after a while they became careless. Began to think, well, I can do whatever I want to do. God loves me. I can do whatever I want. They're careless. I've known people who were committed at one point and they were indifferent at another. Or they were people who lived a holy life, but the time came whenever they were ungodly and godly was not in their thoughts and minds. I've seen people who were involved at one point in life and who were very distracted at other points in their lives. I've known people who were at one point in their lives wise. They did wise things. They thought through things. They were careful. But somehow or another, they became foolish at other points. Compromised and did things they would never have done when they were younger. I've known folks who had faith at one point and then become to have a little doubt here, a little doubt there. And they let their doubts begin to work on them. And instead of finding an answer to those doubts, they give in to them. And after a while, they do have that unbelieving heart. I've known people who were responsible at one point in their lives, and they became irresponsible at another point. Or someone who was a good steward of what God had given to them at one point, and wasteful at another. Now we can turn that around and say, I've seen people who were wasteful who became good stewards. Or people who were irresponsible at one point in life who became responsible, grew up, and took responsibility for their lives. I've seen people who were unbelievers, atheists. I lived next door to an atheist who was converted and used to go with me to the school of preaching when I was teaching. And he loved the Lord. He was glad he became a Christian. David, whenever we all were over in Minsk, Belarus, there were a lot of people there that didn't know anything about the Bible and didn't believe. But you know what? After they were taught the cross and the resurrection, they became believers and were converted to Christ. I've seen people who would be foolish at one point in their life, and you know, after a while, they kind of wake up and get wise, kind of like the prodigal son who finally came home. I've seen people who were distracted by this and by that, and then something happened and their focus changed. And they became a different person. I've known people who were ungodly and never gave God a second thought who began to recognize that there are things that are holy and sacred and important. I've seen the indifferent become committed, the selfish become loving, and the careless become careful. People can change. So I would ask you the question, what are you becoming? Now, I'm not just talking about Samson, I'm talking about you. What are you becoming? Where have you been 5 years ago? Where are you now? And where are you going to be 5 years from now? What are you becoming? Here was a man who became spiritually empty. And even though he was one of the judges of Israel, he disgraced himself for a time. And there are times when we do have to pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And people can do that. I am thankful that this is not the end of the story about Samson. And yes, Samson is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the faithful. It says, but the hair, verse 22 of Judges 16, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now, the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country who has killed many of us." Let me tell you something. The one thing you don't ever want to do is be a scorner of God and mock God. That never has a good ending. I don't know of anything that is spoken of so negatively everywhere in the Old and New Testament as the person who mocks God. Never a good ending. It says, "And when their hearts were merry," you can imagine why, they said, "Call Samson that he may entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now, something that is so interesting is that to this day they have found some structures in that part of the world where there were pillars and the entire area rested upon those pillars. And if one pushed the pillars over, like Samson did, that the whole place would come down. They were that important. And apparently these pillars were close enough that he could put one hand on one and one hand on the other. It says, "Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained." And then Samson called to the Lord. You know, when you get humble, where can you go but to the Lord? The prodigal son got humbled, and he came home. Samson got humbled, and he came back to God. I hope you never have to be humbled the way those folks were humbled. But if you're ever humbled, go to God. Go to God. He called to the Lord, and he said, "Oh, Lord God, please remember me, and please strengthen me only this once, oh God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. And then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. And he had judged Israel 20 years. You know, sometimes it's our blindness that allows us to see most clearly and to begin walking correctly. Samson came back to God and he depended on him again. Hebrews 11:32 lists Samson as a hero of the faith. And what Samson became in the end is the reason why. Now, you may have become what you don't want to be, but you don't have to stay there. You can become something different, just like Samson did. He returned to what he knew was right and good. Yeah, he prayed for his strength, and he brought that big place down where they were mocking God and worshiping their God. Yes, Samson lost his sight, his freedom. He lost his relationship with God and he lost his dignity. But it was at the bottom that he learned to really trust in God instead of his own strength. To trust in God instead of his own abilities. And you know what? That's somewhat what we need to learn to do. is recognize that we can't answer every problem. We can't do everything. We can't be everything, but God can. And He can help us to become the man or woman of God that He would have us to be. God can transform your life if you will let Him, but you have to let Him do that. You have to be willing to work with Him and depend on Him. And sometimes it takes those harsh things for us to begin to see the things that we need to be. The most successful people often don't know they're successful. They just keep on doing diligently what they've always been doing, and they make a powerful impact on the lives of people who are all around them. Some people who find success cheaply don't realize how vulnerable they are to the influences of the world. Now, to be a great servant of Christ takes time, and it takes conscious, meaningful effort in loving God and taking up your cross daily and following Him and being the person that God would have you to be. Now, I want to ask you, what are you becoming? What are you becoming? If you keep going in the spiritual direction you're going, maybe in the last month, where will you be a year from now? Will you be spiritually stronger or will you be spiritually weaker? Where are you compared to where you were 5 years ago? Oh, I know people always talk about glory days of the past and they forget that God's got a lot of glory for us today. We'll work with Him. And you know what? God can use everybody in a good way. We may not be able to do all the things we did in other times, but we can do something. What are you doing with what you're able to do? What are you becoming? Now, your direction will not change until you make up your mind for it to change. You won't become the person that you want until you decide that this is the direction you're going to go and you make the spiritual steps and have that spiritual discipline to do it. To be a person of prayer, to be a person of the book, to be a person who cares for others, to be a person who can lead other people to Christ, to be the kind of individual that loves the Lord and everybody can see it by the way that you act and the way that you talk. If you want to change, then take a long look at the cross and take up your cross and follow Christ. And the way you take it up for the very first time is by putting your faith and your love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and love are so much a part of what it takes to be obedient to God. And with that faith and that love will lead you to turn from the things that are evil because you love God. You want to please Him and turn to the things that are good and right and holy. Repentance is not just turning away from, it's also turning to. And we need to remember that aspect of it. You've got a new goal, a new direction to go. And repentance is all about that. And with that repentance, to be willing to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you know what? There are three times in Scripture where people confess Jesus is Lord. Are you aware of that? Three times where it talks about confessing Jesus is Lord. One day every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Oh, I'm not talking about what you confess before you're baptized, but it sure wouldn't hurt to say Jesus is Lord before you're baptized either. He is the Christ, the Son of God. And should we not acknowledge that? When I think about that and then to be baptized, and when you're baptized, you are crucified with Christ. Romans 6 and verse 6. That old man of sin is crucified with Him so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. That's what the Romans 6 teaches. That's when we first take up our cross, when we're crucified with Christ, and we're crucified with Christ when we're baptized. Baptized into His death, buried with Him and raised to walk in newness of life. We become different people. That's when we become a child of God. That's when we become a member of the Lord's church. That's when we become a Christian. That's when we become a saved, forgiven person. And this is why we need to be baptized in order to be saved. If you need to become God's child, don't wait for another day. Do it tonight. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. It'll be a 300-mile journey on Thursday when I go home. I'm going to say, if the Lord wills. I don't know whether I'll make it or not. And you know what? You don't know what your life will be like on the morrow either. We don't know. So we don't want to put off things. Maybe you're a Christian and you've wandered away and you've drifted in a place that you don't need to be. Maybe it's time you repented of that and confessed it and asked God to forgive you. You can do that tonight. Why not respond while we stand and sing?